Joining us right now from the Buffalo Eclipse Consortium is Tim Collins. Tim, thanks so much for being with us. Much appreciated. Question number one, what is the Buffalo Eclipse Consortium?
Well, thank you, Tom. It's an honor to be on here today. Thank you for having me.
It's my honor. It's our honor. My audience is honored to have you with us. You're the star, baby.
Wait a minute, your honor. Are you a judge? No, thank you. The Buffalo Eclipse Consortium is a more or less a conglomerate made up of the two planetariums we have in town, the Buffalo Museum of Science, Penn Dixie, the Buffalo Astronomical Association, the libraries, et cetera, and also some of the government agencies that have joined in to help us plan the eclipse. We've been at this since 2015, Tom. It's been a long time.
And how do you plan the eclipse? How could you get the moon and the sun together to line up? That was some good negotiation right there. That's like building the stadium.
So difficult.
Tim, I have to tell you something, and I think, and I'm only going to tell you this story. This goes out to my buddy Seth Bullock out there in the audience. I'm only going to tell you this story because I don't think I'm alone in this. To me, maybe a month ago, the eclipse was kind of a, ho-hum, whatever. And I've been joking a lot about, we're probably not going to see it anyway. And I find, and I think many people in the audience may find, that as we get closer to the event itself, the more excited I become. And this radio station is going to have unbelievable coverage on Monday. Everybody is so pumped and so amped. But you, sir, are the star of this segment. And you mentioned 2015. You started this consortium. What was the impetus? How did you get people who were busy at that point with many, many pre-pandemic? How did you get them interested in something 9 years in the future?
Well, it was basically just the culturals that we had, and we knew that there was planning going on around the 2017 eclipse. And the point was to kind of take advantage of what they were going through to kind of learn some early lessons. And so we talked to them after their eclipse and got some information. And in fact, if you think back to 2017, we had the partial eclipse here that day, and we had a lot of events going on around town. That was kind of our testing ground for 2024. But it was just more that we knew it was coming, and we wanted to make sure everybody was as ready as they could be. Now, we didn't expect the general public to jump on board in 2015 and say, oh, yay, an eclipse. No, it just doesn't get there. It takes a while until, like, April 1st, whatever. But, it was just a lot of us, more or less enthusiasts, that said, we got to do something here.
Tim, I think, and I'm going to keep you on for a while, if that's okay, because I love your passion on this subject. And we had a caller earlier this week, and this guy and a buddy of his, they're amateur astronomers, and they literally will go around the country chasing eclipses. And the way he described an eclipse a few years ago, he flew into Lincoln, Nebraska. The weather was horrible. He and his friend are also amateur meteorologists, so they were able to pinpoint Casper, Wyoming as a place to go. And I hope he calls back onto the show at some point today. But the way he described it, Tim, the totality of the eclipse, the people with their visceral tears and their visceral better than any firework you'll ever see in the sky, and the animals and the stars by daytime, it really, I gotta tell you something, sometimes doing this, a caller can change your perception based on his or her passion. And you've also noticed this, that people who might be a little jaded and cynical, let's face it, we tend to get older and jaded and more cynical, the more we think about this, the more cooler we think it's going to be.
Yeah, and you know what? I can attest to that myself because I did go to Totality in 2017 also. I was in South Carolina because, well, that's where we have family. So we went down that direction. And that was my first total solar eclipse. And we did do something similar. We started at the coast in Charleston and found clouds. And so we ended up moving across South Carolina until we came across Greenwood. And I, too, had a budding meteorology student of my family in our group. So we also were able to use some meteorological records to find our spot in Greenwood. And it worked out fantastic. And the best way, maybe I can kind of reiterate what your previous caller had said, is it's almost akin to a religious experience. People get emotional, and nobody really knows what they're in for until you're in for it. You know, you've got to be, it's one of those things, you got to be there. I hate using that phrase, oh, you had to be there. But you had to be there.
If it's valid, it's valid. I mean, sometimes, I think that you are probably not a big fan of cliches. Let's head them off at the pass. Probably not a big fan, but there are times when cliches are actually the best way to communicate an idea.
Mm-hmm. They are. And as I've been going through the public, doing my presentations at libraries, at schools this last few months, it's one thing I make sure that I tell people to try to give them an idea of what to expect, because not only do you see the stars and the planets around you, not only, like you said, the animals and the insects reacting to it, but as a human being, you find your part of this world too, because you react as well. And things, because in a word, if I were to choose a word, surreal is what I would describe it as. The landscape just changes around you during totality. You almost get almost a sickly violet grayish color because of what it's doing to your eyes. So this is a little biology, right? You're actually getting less light to your cones in your eyes. So you're seeing almost everything in grayscale. It's phenomenal. But then you look up, and that changes everything.
You know what? We were talking, and we're going to be talking with him for a while, because can you hear the passion in his voice? Tim Collins with the Buffalo Eclipse Consortium is with us on WBEN. And I want you, as you listen to what Tim is saying about his experience with Totality, not Yotality, that yogurt place at Maine and Garrison that is really good, by the way. But
you made me hungry.
Sorry about that. I could run over on the way home from work and drop some off if you'd like. But the emotion that is in your voice when you're describing Totality is so reminiscent of the emotion that our caller from earlier this week brought to the table. And you talk about going to schools and civic organizations. And for those in Canada, we must be bilingual organizations. What is the biggest question, that the most common question people have about a total eclipse?
When we're in the presentations, the most common one is, when can I look at it? When can I take the glasses off? And honestly, when I talk about cynicism, I think I'm done with glasses right now. And I think half of Western New York is done with glasses too. But at an eclipse, when it's over, when the moon comes back out, the number one question is, when's the next one? And that's what everybody wants to know. When do I get to do this again? So it's really something that is, like you said, and I talk like this when I'm doing my presentations. I mean, this is how I am, because I've been there. I know what's happening, and I've chased eclipses now. So now I, too, am an eclipse chaser, because I trekked out to Nevada last October to go see the annular eclipse on a whim. 3 hours before my flight left, I had no plane tickets, and suddenly I'm on a plane 20 hours later in an eclipse in the middle of the desert in Nevada. But
that's dedication or insanity, one or the other. Are you, Tim, somebody, the guy who called in earlier this week, and again, I hope he calls back in today, because he, like you, he just brought this passion, and he really made me rethink everything that I was thinking about the eclipse and how cool it's going to be. And I'm really hoping that we get sunny weather and people actually get to see these things. But the how do you explain that period between people who are jaded, cynical, been there, done that, where's the potato chips, and the absolute glory of watching this majestic performance art show unfold in the heavens?
It really lies within. I mean, if somebody is very cynical about it, that's fine. We don't expect everybody to have the same level of passion or dedication that we have. But we're going to impart it on you anyway, to let you know what you can expect. But somewhere between the humdrum of, oh, big deal, it's the moon moving over the sun and it's getting smaller, to holy cow, what am I looking at there? When you see parts of the sun you naturally cannot see, something happens at that point. That's where it happens.
Now, you said something interesting. You are done with the glasses, and I want to say that later on today, after the news at 5 o'clock, we're going to have one of my personal heroes on the program. His name is Dr. Philip Niles. He is a retina specialist, and if it wasn't for Dr. Philip Niles, I would have lost vision in my right eye. Instead, it's 2020-2025, and we're going to talk about the concern about the eclipse and vision. So when you say you're not going to worry about the glasses, what is the basis for that lack of worry? I'm just curious.
Oh, no, it's just that I've been dealing with the glasses for so long. And where are the free ones? Where do I get them? Which ones are counterfeit? Which ones are fake? I'm going to go to the retailer to get them. I'm just going to get them online. We have thousands of them still here available in Western New York. In fact, my personal inventory is at 4,000 still.
Oh, good heavens.
So I have them available if anybody's looking for them. And as I go around the stores, I find the store saying, oh, we're out. We don't know where to send people. So the Williamsville Library actually stepped up this week for me, and they are selling some today, this evening and tomorrow. So if anybody needs them, the Williamsville Library is getting a little fundraiser from them right now.
On Main Street in Williamsville, by Town Hall, yeah. By the Irishman and places like that. Are we neighbors?
Oh, especially the Irishman. Yes, I live in Williamsville, too. So
okay, all right.
I'm very near you, just listening to what you've described.
Yeah.
I think I'm very close to where you are. Like, you talk about Full Road a lot, and I come home down that way sometimes.
Oh, that's outstanding. Well, what I like about my street is it does not run from Worley all the way to Maine. I've got Full as a blocker at the end, so that's what I like about the street.
Yeah.
Would you want to take some phone calls from people who have questions about the eclipse? You've been doing this now for so long, and you know, I'm not trying to blow smoke here, Tim, but it's people like you who are unsung heroes in the community by educating kids, educating grown-ups about something kind of cool. And I'll be the first to tell you, we have a lot of jaded people who listen to my show. I guess the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. But what you are bringing, this passion, this interest, this knowledge, I think can benefit people. And if they have questions, I would like them to be able to call you and ask questions of you.
Sure.
Because a lot of times we hear eclipse, 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 and we just want to make sure that everybody has everything answered that they could possibly want to know about the eclipse, if that makes sense. And let me give you the phone number, 803 803- 1-800-616-0930, *930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. Tim Collins is with the Buffalo Eclipse Consortium, and he's been educating people about this for, well, ever since 2015.
Maybe a little sooner than that.
Yeah, I was thinking, only 9 years, you slacker. So,
no, I found out about this in 2001, Tom, and when I did, I started putting it into my planetarium presentations back then. Well, yeah, I've been at it a little longer than most.
You know, I know you've been on the radio station a lot. I know you've talked to everybody. I think this is our first time talking about the eclipse. But, you know, I missed a lot of last week because I was hanging out in Jamaica. It was very difficult, 85 degrees and sunny every day. And it was a very, very difficult week for me. But I deserved it, darn it all. I deserved it. But when you talk to kids, what are the biggest differences between the kids' approaches to active listening and active questioning about the eclipse versus the adults?
The kids really seem to key on the pictures. They love to see the images and what they're going to look at. They're not so much interested. Yeah, the younger ones aren't so much interested in the science. They want to hear what's going on around there. They want to hear what the animals are doing. They want to hear, you know, what the sky is going to be doing. They want to hear about Mr. Sun and Mr. Moon. You know, that's the kids have such a unique perspective on this because they don't really understand. And mine were little in 2017, and now they know. So they're teenagers now. So now they have a good understanding of what's coming to them this week. As far as the adults, they're really more interested in the facts, right? They really want to hear, you know, how does this happen? Why has it been since 1925 that we had one? And sometimes the adults can be a little more entertaining, like asking questions such as, do I need to wear my eclipse glasses while I'm driving? Yes, that is an actual question we've gotten a few times.
But you know what? Can I be really stupid for a minute? I think that's kind of a good question. Should you wear your eclipse glasses as you're driving?
Well, Mr. Bellavia answered that himself at the end of his program there, I heard. But no, you should not be wearing them while you're driving. But then again, maybe some people are, and that's why there's so many problems on the road. I don't know. But no, definitely don't wear them while you're driving or even while you're walking. And only time you need them is when you're looking up at the sun.
Well, again, we've got local retina specialist, Dr. Philip Niles, who's a personal hero to me. He's going to come up after the news at 5 o'clock on WBEN. And I've got special circumstances, which I've explained to people before, and I know I'm not the only one. The show's not about me, but I want to talk about those glasses, and I want to talk about issues involving the eye. With Dr. Niles, because a lot of people, I think, have legitimate questions. People want to know about their dogs and cats if they're outside, for goodness sake. Tim Collins is with the Buffalo Eclipse Consortium, and the phone number for your questions, because they're probably better than mine, 803-0930, *930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Obviously, Tim, a man does not live by eclipse alone. How would you describe your general interest, ability, talent, and aptitude with respect to astronomy in general?
I've been around it for a while, over 35 years now and counting. So I'm usually out there with the Buffalo Astronomical Association. I'm a member of that organization for our Canadian friends, and we have an observatory in North Jaffa called on the grounds of the Audubon Society, the Buffalo Audubon Society at Beaver Meadow, and actually this Saturday we're actually going to have our first public night of the year, which coincides nicely with Monday, so there will be plenty of things for people to do, and we're going to get going a little early. So People can check the website on buffaloastronomy.com and get that timing down. But we're going to be there most of the night, too, if it's, and hopefully it's clear. But even if it's not, we'll do something. But I have just been doing this since my days growing up in Tonawanda, being the kid on the driveway with the telescope.
And wait.
I bug my neighbors.
Okay, time out. Okay, this is starting to get freaky.
Neighbors all our lives. You may not realize it, but I tell everybody when I talk to people at the station, you and I have Ken Moore East in common.
We have more than that in common. First of all, I think we're pretty much neighbors, number one. Number two, I was also the kid in the driveway in Tonawanda in the middle of wintertime looking at Jupiter through my TASCO telescope. And we're talking about the mids. And did you also subscribe to Sky and Telescope for $10 a year?
Actually, my father was more of an astronomy magazine guy, so he would bring that home occasionally. But yes, I would find Sky and Tel. And when I finally got to the planetarium world, I found a whole library full of Sky and Tel and astronomy that were planetarium. Oh boy, did I get lost for a long time. Show research.
Well, it's the photographs, and with the kids and the photographs, and I think we have some parents of some young kids who may be listening to the show, except they're always too exhausted to call in. But when a child, 7, 8, 9 years old, for the first time sees a beautiful shot from the Hubble or the Webb, when they see a shot taken with a very high-powered telescope and a great camera, maybe a shot taken by one of our artificial satellites we send into orbit around a moon from another planet or another planet itself. There is such a colorful majesty of those photographs that is so literally otherworldly. And do you find that that sucks in a lot of the kids into this stuff?
It does. And honestly, when I was running the observatory for the Buffalo Museum of Science, when we first opened it back up, we had some public evenings there. And the kids, when they would look through that big telescope on the roof of the museum, would just be amazed. And you can always tell when they get it because their jaw falls open like it broke. It's just like it's hanging open. And a gasp comes out, and you know they see what you expect them to see. I have one small boy who came up to see the moon, and he was shaking, and he looked at his mom, and he said, "Is this really happening?" And it was just the cutest thing ever and most, you know, emotional thing I could think of, and it was amazing. And
that's
kids
awesome.
Do that. When they turn light on, the light is on.
And, you know, and the first time, I'm sure you remember the first time you saw with your own telescope the rings around Saturn.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds stupid, but it's a life-changing experience. I'd like to get some calls on for you, if you don't mind, Tim. We're talking with Tim Collins, and it's really weird. And I think that there might be some other people like Tim and your humble host listening to the show who can relate to some of the geeky stuff we did when we were younger. Let's go to, and I'll let Tanner handle the calls so I don't mess him up. Let's go to Karen in Cheektowaga. Karen, you are on News Radio 930 WBEN with Tim Collins, one of those guys who makes Western New York, Western New York.
Okay. Hi, Tim. Hi, Tom. My question for Tim, when the corona happens and you have your solar glasses on, you don't see anything, right? You can't see the corona with your solar glasses on. Is that correct?
Oh, hi, Karen. Yes, that is a fantastic question. Yeah, you do not see anything. Once the moon completely covers the sun, it's time to lift them up. And there's a reason I say lift them up as opposed to take them off. Because not only will the temperature drop about 10 to 20 degrees, because you're not only cutting off the source of light, you're cutting off the source of heat, but the wind will kick up a little too. And if you put them down somewhere, they may not be there when you go to put them back on. So the corona will appear right after the moon covers the sun. And so you want to see that, and that's when you're going to want to, as soon as you don't see anything in the glasses, that's when you want to lift them up.
Okay, that's what I wanted to know. Is it okay to look at it for the full viewing time, or should I just only look at it briefly?
What a great question. Great question.
Oh, the corona part is safe, and I'm sure Tom's next guest will corroborate that with me. But yeah, the corona is perfectly safe to view. You just have to be careful and know when to put them back on.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about. Yeah.
So what you're going to be looking for, you can get an app that will give you the timings. It costs like $2 for the data. And you can get that to tell you, or you can just listen to folks around you. But use your common sense, okay? So as the moon moves away, you're going to start to see a very, very brightening pinpoint of light, and that's the diamond ring effect. That's your signal to start putting the glasses back on. So you'll see Bailey's beads, and you'll see the diamond ring effect, and you'll want to start thinking about putting them on. So just keep them in your hand, and before it gets too bright, just put them back down.
Okay. Tom, are they? Is the WBEN going to tell you the time, too, when it's safe?
Oh, my dear. Lisa Polizzi, our brand manager and my boss, she's going to come on the show after 3 o'clock, even though she's already working 18-hour days. She's going to give you the complete rundown of what we're going to do on WBEN. And we will answer your question, and I'll just answer it briefly. Yes. Absolutely, positively, and I have to tell you that Lisa Polizzi and Tim Wenger and our newsroom have been all over this for months. Yeah. Months. Tim's been doing it for years, but we've been doing it for months, and it's I don't know how it is for other people at the radio station, but I go out pretty much every night, and there is a buzz among people that I know about the eclipse. People you wouldn't think would care less about the eclipse, and they're fascinated by it. And if you want to find out everything we're doing, Karen, Lisa's going to be on with us in just a little bit. So I think it's a great idea that we get around to give us the rundown, okay?
Yes, yeah, but I am going to have the radio on all that time for WBEN.
And we appreciate that.
When they say it's safe, then I'll take my glasses off, you know, to watch that corona. So thank you very much.
And only your glasses. We don't want to encourage anything else. Okay. We don't want to see you arrested and have a little blue dot over your house. No, that's not a way to go.
And, Tim, I won't take them off. I'll push them up on my face.
Yeah.
Right, you said.
Someone will always just look at you and say they're on your head, you know. So at least you'll get help.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like trying to find your reading glasses and realizing they're on the string around your neck.
Right.
Hello.
Right. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, my love, and great questions, by the way. And we're talking about the eclipse. We've got Tim Collins with us with the Buffalo Eclipse Consortium. I'm not even opposed to getting Tim back on tomorrow, a different hour, but he's been doing this now for so long. And we are talking with Tim Collins of the Buffalo Eclipse Consortium. And here's one of the problems, Tim, that I see. And I do want to have you back on tomorrow, maybe the 5 o'clock hour. Vary it up a little bit because you have dedicated how many hours of your life to this thing. But we want people to come to the area. We want businesses to make money. But so many places are being urged to shut down. I mentioned Brightsmith on Main Street in Williamsville. They wanted to do live music during the eclipse, and the village wouldn't give them the permit for amplified music. And Tim Wenger. Yeah. And Tim Wenger says that let me get they're closing the boat launches at the Erie Basin and Outer Harbor. And it's almost like you're not going to be able to have any fun. What are your thoughts on a balance between safety and fun and making science and astronomy fun for people?
Well, Tom, if I may interject something here from the theme of your week's symposium on Blazing Saddles, may I just say, gentlemen, affairs of state must take precedent over the affairs of state.
I was out walking the parapet.
So let me just add that line in from Sheriff Bart there. So, yeah, it might be a little overkill, but I get it, because if emergency services can't get anywhere on land, they want to use the water. So I think that's why. I don't know. I don't have the inside track to the actual, you know, government edict here, but I'm guessing that it's that they want to utilize the water, and they don't want anybody else clogging up the waterways as well as the roadways.
Well, so, and of course, being the kind of person you are, I'm sure you're also involved in some way, shape, or form in the movement to preserve, protect, and defend the Cotter, the oldest working fireboat in the entire world. And we try our best here at WBEN to help out that cause. Tim, I'm going to get you back tomorrow. I'll let Lisa set up a time. We won't do it in the 2 o'clock hour. Maybe we'll do it in the 4 o'clock hour. Just to vary things up a little bit. But I got to tell you.
I'm actually giving a historic dinner speech tomorrow night. So, 4 o'clock would work perfectly.
Oh, that's outstanding. But really, I hope you understand. I'm not trying to blow smoke, but it's guys like you. It's women who do the same kind of stuff that you do that make this a community that, even with the taxes and the stuff we don't like, you have been out there educating. You've been out there building passion for this eclipse. And even people, again, that I run into, and we probably have a lot of the same people in common and the same watering holes in common, you have done a lot to responsibly generate interest in the eclipse without hyping it. I don't like hype. You don't like hype. But this is going to be hopefully very cool, and we're going to get to see it. Do you think we're going to get to see it?
I think so. Because I don't want to go anywhere. I don't want to have to leave town. You know, I want one in my own backyard. You know, it's time to see one in my own backyard. And, you know, you talk about things that I've done. I mean, you may have heard this in some of the news reports, but I was with Brayton one day, and we were walking the center line of the eclipse, and I'd been knocking on doors. I've been a door-to-door salesman for this eclipse, as well as to businesses to let them know it's coming, but also to encourage people, just stay where you are. Don't go out if you don't have to. You're going to be fine. You can see it from here. And they're already in the statistically best place to be. And boy, did that get a lot of excitement going there too.
You know, that's great. And I'm going to thank you on behalf of the community, if I may be so bold, because I was out walking the parapet. Work, 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 work. I'm glad you're a Blazing Saddles fan, by the way. But we're going to get you back on tomorrow, because this is your time, baby. It is your time, and I look forward to it. We'll set something up. I'm sure Lisa will be in touch. it's your Super Bowl. Exactly. It's your Game 7 Stanley Cup Finals. Thank you very much. Yep. Appreciate your time very much, Tim Collins. And a little known fact, the preparation for the eclipse should do away with the hoarseness caused by the springtime cold, because people don't know how to cover their mouths on airplanes. Thank you very much for joining us. Tim Collins.